The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Okay. We are rolling right now. We are flying by the seat of our pants here with Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. This is called Dark Side of the Pooch. Yeah, sometimes it's fun to start the show. Welcome back to another edition of the Dark Side of the Pooch here on TK. And sometimes it's fun to just let people kind of slide in to the middle of a conversation we're having because I know it's all good. And most of the times I always think to myself, man, I wish I had started recording this about 5 or 10 minutes ago because our stuff is really good. As a matter of fact, if you go back and listen to all of our podcasts, which are available on any major industry, you will see several times where you're folding laundry, where, you know, maybe I'm sitting on the toilet and we just do shows. You just don't know where we're at. You didn't realize I did a show from the toilet. I actually took these pictures and put them in the bathroom and did a show sitting on the toilet one day. You had no idea, did you?
I did it. And I think if we went back and listened to that show, it would be one of our best ones.
It would be. I mean, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants today. Just got back from a meeting, have a doctor's appointment with my daughter coming up by 30 minutes. So we're going to stuff this thing in here. And sometimes our best meetings, and we missed you last week because I know you were out of town and it was Easter week and stuff like that. But we did add an addition to the Curry household that I will share with you in just a few minutes, that I'm super, super excited about. And you asked me off mic, I hope it's alive, and it is. So I'll have that for you. Lila, there she comes. She's coming in. Anyway, first of all, how was your Easter? Everything good?
Yeah, Easter's great, man. It really just kind of helps you understand your purpose, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it helps me know that all the stuff that I'm stressed about and things that I'm worried about, I shouldn't be worried about, man, because Jesus took care of it.
You're right. And it's something that's just beautiful. You know, when your heart is full, when the tomb is empty, I just love that saying. Well, you know, when he's gone, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of,
we had some music at our church service that Sunday that was just, I mean, bring tears to your eyes, man.
There you go. What do we have?
Is it a
chinchilla? We have
okay,
a chinchilla.
A little closer. A little closer.
Yeah.
It is. At first, I had to figure out if it was a sugar glider or a chinchilla.
Yeah.
Oh, what's its name?
What's his name?
Gizmo.
Gizmo the chinchilla.
That's a perfect name.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, my gosh. Awesome.
And I'm telling you, dude, best road we've owned so far. We went down to Ed's Pet World. Of course, this show is brought to you by Ed's Pet World. This is the kind of stuff they have down there. They have bearded dragons, they have tarantulas, they have snakes, they have turtles, they have snakes, they have a chinchilla. Look at this chinchilla. This is a baby chinchilla. He's only about five.
Can I see his tail? I love their tail.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. He is fantastic. He's a little squirrely, but he is fantastic. And much, hold on. And much like, say, hamsters, guinea pigs, put that in the same kind of group. He's super cool because, I mean, he's from Chile, right? From Chile. And so, he's a jumper. He wants to get after
He him. Wants to be free.
But all, you know, hamsters, guinea pigs, gerbils, and chinchillas. I don't want to put chinchillas in that bunch with them because they are so much cooler. But super easy. You don't ever get them wet because their hair follicles are clear because they will get, you know all about this. If you get them wet, their hair follicles get filled with water and they turn into mold. Next thing you know, their hair color changes and it will kill them, which I did not know about. Yeah, polar bears also have that same issue. Polar bears' hair is hollow inside. If you ever see a green polar bear, it's because it's got algae. You can go. Yeah, go on. Thank you very much.
Hey, you guys got the dirt? You got the dirt stuff for the bath?
We got the dirt bath, and it's like $14, and you get a vat of it like this high, and it's just one scoop. We just put one scoop in, do it once a day. It knows to go in the bath, and it just sits there and just it looks like a little dust animal. When you pat it on the back, you see the dust go off, and it's great. And it's
so cool.
The dust stuff smells good. So it's kind of, it's always self-cleaning. Its poop is probably about a third the size of a rabbit poop. So it almost looks like a mouse poop. You ever seen mouse poops? You know, you don't like to see mouse poops because whenever you lift up something in the garage, you see those piles of poop. So it looks like mouse poop, but it's not mouse poop. The only thing I will say that is difficult with this animal is they jump. This thing will jump 4 or 5 feet high. It is a baby. I had it in the bathtub. I've got, one of these jet bathtubs, and it can jump out of the bathtub. It's about 3 feet. It can jump on a slippery surface out of the bathtub into the bathroom. So you just have to, so it will jump. And obviously, you know, I've got a couple of dogs that would just love to chow down on chinchilla for lunch. So you have to be careful, but that is our new addition. So, no guinea pigs. The guinea pigs are gone. I did a straight trade guinea pigs with Ed's Pet World for a chinchilla, and my daughter got something special for Easter. My guinea pig days are over, and I will tell you this. here's the kicker. You're going to love this. This is great. So I take my two guinea pigs down to Ed's Pet World. The female was pregnant again for the fifth time. And I said, it's impossible. I said, because that's her son. He's like, no, that's her daughter. That's... And I was like, what are you talking about? That's the mother. It's like, anyway, I had a mother and I had a male. And so the mother was mating with the male. You know, we're in the state of Alabama. We're used to that stuff anyway. And they're inbred, dude. And so
even the animals in Alabama inbred. And I'm like, that could be a t-shirt. Dark Side of the Pooch emblem on the back.
Oh, I love that.
Even the animals in Alabama inbreed.
The only inbred show in the state of Alabama radio. So I wanted to share that with you. But pretty cool.
That's cool.
Hey, first of all, brought to you by Ed's Pet World and also Sasquatch Toys and Comics. You can watch us on ABC 3340. I'm going to have you on the show coming up a little bit later on in June. Want you to come on in and talk about pet care and stuff. We'll do that just in time for summertime. So it's going to be a great show. ABC 3340 called The Starting Lineup with Kip Kiefer and myself, Tony Curry, every Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock. It's live. It's a great show. We've got something going on with American Airlines, which I thought was very strange. They made a change in policy last night. I don't know if you saw this policy. They're now allowing carry-on pets on all flights if you have a pet carrier and it can fit underneath the front seat or the back seat. We can't put pets in the above area because they're just not going to get enough air, I would assume. But if you got a pet carrier and it fits, it's kind of like, do you remember when Talladega Super Speedway started allowing you to bring in your own alcohol? You could bring in your own alcohol, but it had to be a cooler, like 6 inches by 12 inches by 8.5 inches. It had to fit perfectly under your seat. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you have a pet carrier, and I'm assuming that someone's already thought of this idea. And if they haven't, we need to do it immediately, of selling something on pets.com or something of on air pet carriers that are uniform in style, because I'm assuming that all areas under seats on airlines are the same size. Are they not? Wouldn't that be the same size?
You would think that most of them would be. I mean, the planes vary in size. So maybe the area under the seats vary. I'm not sure, but I mean, let's call this what it is. Okay. I am a 6'1", 160-pound human being.
Yes.
By all accounts, I am basically non-existent. Okay. That's how small I am. Yeah,
you are small. For this country, you are very small.
I can barely fit into an airline seat comfortably. So you're telling me that you can bring in any animal you want. It's just got to fit under the seat. So the airlines have now just said, okay, look, we're just going to say you can bring in whatever you want. It's got to fit under the seat. There's no arguments. There's no complaining. Nothing fits under those seats.
No.
Your chinchilla fits under the seat. Gizmo fits under the seat. Nothing else fits under that seat. My feet don't fit under the seat.
You're right. The seat in front too. And I don't know why they have that little step on the seat in front of you. You're supposed to be able to put your feet up on it, I guess. It looks like a bar stool. There's no reason, because you cannot get something inside it. Yeah, I've had like a makeup kit my daughter brought with me. I've had a shaving kit. I've had a carry-on bag with a computer. A carry-on bag with a computer does not fit underneath that seat, the front seat. So I don't know what they're trying to do here, but obviously pet lovers are loving it. I'm telling you, it's going to be about a week down the road. We are going to have a monster fight on an American Airlines flight because some people just don't want to be around animals. We've already had this problem. We talked about bringing into supermarkets where Publix is like shutting it down, going, listen, guys, this is a supermarket. You're not bringing in your pet Shih Tzu into our store. Okay. This is not a pet thing. It's not pet night down at the Hoover Met You know, we're not doing those things. And so now that you're allowing people to bring your pets, you wonder how many people will start thinking, well, we are allowed to bring the pets, so why don't we just give it a shot?
There's going to be so many problems.
I'm with you.
If it's not the person sitting next to you that doesn't want to be around a dog, it's going to be someone who tries to bring in not even a big dog, a small dog. Somebody's going to try to bring in a small dog, and it's not going to fit under the seat, and everyone's going to be up in arms about it. And all of these hilarious videos that you see on planes of people getting kicked off, you're in luck because you're going to get to see more of them. And this time they're going to be holding an animal.
And here's the other thing. I saw you had an animal under your seat. What kind of animal is that? Oh, it's a, give me a small dog breed. What's a small dog breed?
Oh, it's a Shih Tzu.
It's a Shih Tzu. Oh, really? Oh, can you get him out? Oh, I don't know if we're not allowed to get the animals out during flight. And you're not. That's part of the rule. You have to keep the dog or the cat in the container. And do you understand what I'm saying here? You could have possibly 10 dogs and 10 cats all within 10 yards of each other on an enclosed flight at 40,000 feet. When we're worrying about terrorism, I mean, do you understand this could be like a flying bomb full of animal fur is what it could possibly be. And so, you know, it's only a matter of time because someone's going to want to get their baby out. Someone's going to go, watch, I can get this baby out. Someone will want to get their chinchilla out. If you can take, you're going to be able to take snakes on a plane. You can take a snake on a plane now. American Airlines, you'll be able to bring, as long as it fits in this container underneath your seat, you'll be able to bring this animal in. And so, you know, it's only a matter of time before someone will get it out. It's going to be cross-country flight. They want to, maybe it's a therapy animal. I have to hold Fifi just for a couple minutes because of the turbulence up here at 32,000 feet over Colorado. It's freaking me out and it's going to get loose. It's going to run across someone's tail. It's going to be horrible.
Or let's just, you could even make it simpler than that. A dog is going to poop in that carrier.
Yes.
It's going to have diarrhea in the carrier.
Yes, yes.
And it is going to smell so bad.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to smell so bad.
See, I didn't even think
about it. And you're going to deal with it as you fly to, you know, LA or Seattle or...
This is why we have you on. Dr. Rab Stewart, he's the best veterinarian at Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 905-767-6905. I'm sorry, 208-0301. I'm getting my phone number so messed up, I apologize.
I've got so many numbers in your head now.
208-0301. Check him out, 208-0301. When we're talking about having animals in crates, we do that to potty train because we know that dogs will not pee or poo where they sleep. Well, how's that play in a kennel, like a travel kennel? Are dogs the same? Do they understand that if they're in an enclosed place that they don't want to be around their own poo either? Or does it matter because most animals aren't in travel kennels unless they sleep in it. It's one of those really small kennels and he sleeps in the corner and you just take it with you onto the plane. But I'm assuming most people are going to have a kennel that's much smaller than the one they'd have at their home. Do they know not to pee or poop in it?
They know because, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if they know that if they poop and pee in a small area, they're going to have to deal with it and they're not going to want to do that. But one of the main things that gives dogs, we're not talking about cats, we're talking about dogs. One of the main things that gives them diarrhea is stress. Mm-hmm. Stress colitis is very common in dogs. So anything that makes them nervous or things that change their routine and stuff like that. So if you have an anxious dog and you try to put it on a plane in a tiny carrier with loud noises and strange people, the diarrhea can develop fairly quickly. Unlike us.
If you're traveling, let's just use 3-hour flight as an example. Do we not want to feed we're taking a morning flight, 8 to 11 o'clock to San Francisco. Do we not want to feed them the night before? Do we not want to feed them the morning of? Do we want to give them water? What do we need to do? I know before we have surgeries, we're not allowed to eat 24 hours ahead of time before we fly our pet from New York to San Francisco. What do we give them? What do we not give them?
I would change their routine as little as possible.
Okay.
If you don't feed them, I mean, like we talked about, the only dog that's going to fit under these seats weighs like 4 pounds.
Yeah.
And so if you have a dog that you don't feed the night before and the morning of, and then you don't land on the West Coast until 10 p.m. or whatever, I mean, by that time, that 4-pound dog, the blood glucose, you know, might be 40, 30 or 40, and that's too low. I mean, dogs can go, most dogs can go at least a day without eating. But if you're on a vacation with your dog, the last thing you want to have to deal with is a sick dog.
Yeah.
So I would.
They will get sick if you just don't feed them.
Well, yeah, like they can throw up, you know, if they don't have anything on their stomach get upset, they'll vomit.
Yeah.
Little dogs are kind of funny, man. So I would change their routine as little as possible. And I would, if I had a dog that was anxious in any way, I would not take it on an airplane.
Okay. Well, if you have a little dog, chances are it is anxious because every little dog seems to be anxious. Or it's got big dog syndrome. You're going to have a barking dog on a flight. That's going to be interesting because I've had dogs on flights before, but I've never heard a dog bark on a flight before. Have you?
You know, I have, but I don't travel a bunch because, you know, I think if you don't travel for work, you're not traveling a lot, you know, and I don't, you know, my work is here, so I don't do a lot of traveling, but there has been one or two times I have heard a dog bark on a plane. It wasn't super annoying though. It was almost like I looked over my wife, like, is that a dog? And then you hear it again. And yeah, it's a dog.
That's like a horror movie. Snakes on a plane, like a dog barking on a plane. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's bad enough to have a baby crying. I mean, we adopted our second boy from Guatemala, and from Guatemala to Dallas, it was like 4-hour flight. And he cried the whole way because his ears were popping. I can only imagine what it'd be like having a barking dog. All right. So speaking of little dogs, I did some self-medication last night. It worked, but I felt kind of bad. So I wanted to throw it out at you.
So, took some dog medicine, didn't you? Took some dog medicine?
I'm getting to the point. So, you know, Frisco, my Havanese, what's he, 6-7 pounds, right? 6-7 pound mm-hmm. Havanese, small little guy. Because I had problems with the Rainer peeing on my recliner, I have now started putting him up in the bathroom. He's great. When I say go to the bathroom, he goes straight upstairs, goes to the bathroom. He's been good. I have not had any issues with him peeing or pooping in that bathroom. I've left him in there for 10 hours at a time. Have not had an issue where I had to leave town, come back that same day. For some reason now, Frisco, who's kenneled up downstairs, barks every night when he first wakes up, which is usually, I go to bed around 9:30, 10 o'clock. It's usually about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, he starts to bark. He'll bark once. He'll bark 15 minutes later. He'll bark 15 minutes later. He's like a dog snooze alarm. And then I'll go, Frisco, knock it off. Go to sleep. And then he won't bark for about another hour. And then he starts to bark again. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, I get up and let this animal out. I'm teaching it that if it barks, I'm responding to it, which means I'm telling it it's okay to bark, right?
In some ways, yeah.
And then as a pet owner, I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe my poor baby really has to pee, and I don't want him to have backed up, and maybe he needs to go. So I usually, you know, let him out of his kennel, and he doesn't go outside. He'll go to the door. He goes right, you know, he goes underneath the arm wall where he has his happy place, and he doesn't even need to go outside and go potty. It's 12:30 in the middle of the night. I'm tired. I'm like, I'm trying to look at it, and I put him back in the kennel, and we go right back to barking. So I got some of those anti-firework meds you gave me, some of those anti-anxiety things, those pink pills. Now, he's only 6 or 7 pounds, so I can only give him a quarter of one of those pills. And when I've given him a quarter of one of these pills, he is as stoned as Cheech and Chong, dude. I mean, he's walking sideways. His paws are crossing over each other. His tail is just kind of swirling. And he's happy, happy, happy dog. So last night, I went to bed at 10 o'clock. And I thought, I'm going to give him one of these anti, because it's for anxiety. So I give him one of these, quarter of these pills. And and I wake up on my own at 1 o'clock because I'm so used to waking up. And I thought, I'm going to go check on little guy. So I get up at 1 o'clock and I go down there. He's laying on his side and I swear he's got a smile on his face. And his tail is just going up and down like he's happy, but he ain't saying a word. He ain't doing, and he didn't bark all night long. I got up and just spent the night. I put him up on my lap. Is that okay to do what I did? Should you use anti-anxieties for barking assistance? Tell me what I did there.
All right. So what you have, I believe, I'd have to look back, but what you have is acepromazine, And
Yes.
So that it's a tranquilizer, not like so it's not so much for anxiety as it is. It just like
lays his ass out.
Tranquilizes him. You know, it's like a like darting a rhino.
That's why he had such a hard time, because when I tried to let him out, his back paws were crossing over each other. And I was like, dude, he looked like Bing Crosby trying to dance, singing in the rain or something. I was like, dude, are you okay? I mean, he was walking sideways across the floor, but his tail was wagging, so I figured he was happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine to give occasionally, but definitely not something that you want to be an everyday thing, for sure.
Okay. All right. So, well, I'm glad I didn't give him a half a pill and I only gave him a quarter.
Half could have done some damage, potentially.
It wouldn't kill him, would it?
I mean, you can kill a dog with acepromazine. I think it would take a lot. It would probably take more than two times the normal amount. But, you know, if you gave 8 or 10 times, I think you'd probably kill one.
All right. So is there an anti-anxiety for keeping my dog from barking, or is that the wrong way to go to get my dog? I was going to give a bark collar, but I know the little guy is, I mean, you look at him wrong, he screams because he feels like he's getting beat up. I mean, you pick him up wrong and he's yelping. So I don't want to, and I know the collar is not going to hurt him. It'll probably scare the bejeebers out of him. So should I go barking collar to get him from doing that? Or is there a medication that I can give my animal? I mean, I know humans are on medications every single day of the year. Is there an anti-anxiety medication I can give my animal? And are there anti-anxieties you can give animals every day?
There's medication you can give for sure that are anti-anxiety medications. I don't think there's anything wrong with the collar if it'll teach him, you know, when it's appropriate to bark and when it's not. And he would learn pretty quick.
The problem I've seen with people with these collars is they don't take them off. They just leave them on, and then you leave them on, and then they just never bark, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But you know, you don't want to leave a dog barking collar on your dog all the time.
Yeah, he would learn. I think he would learn really quickly. He would associate the kennel with barking and the collar, and he would probably learn that, all right, when I'm in the crate, I need to be quiet. But when I'm out of the crate, I don't have to be quiet. I mean, it's no different than a child. You know, we're going to put you to bed, and here's your bedtime, and we're going to put you in your bed at 8:30 or whatever time it is. And when you're in your bed, there's no talking. It's bedtime.
That's the hardest thing too. Because when you, your first child, for sure, every time that child makes any noise, you think the child's dead or it's got, you know, SIDS or something. You're freaking out because you're in there and you swear you have to put your hand on the child's chest to make sure it's still breathing. You're freaking out. And then, you know, by your second or third child, you're like, let him cry. Let him cry it out. Cry all night long, because every time he cries and we get up, you're telling him it's okay that he's going to cry and we're going to get up and look after him.
And you're too tired at that point because you got two other kids you've been dealing with all day besides that.
I'm tired, too, of my havanese. I'm tired of the barking is what I am. All right. Anything going on at the store there? Rossbridge Animal Hospital. And, of course, the show Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Ed's Pet World, not to mention Sasquatch Toys and Comics right down there in beautiful Homewood. You saw our chinchilla, which we got from Ed's Pet World. They sold, by the way, a crap load of rabbits. Just in time for Easter this past week, man, they sold a ton. Or talk about another animal that just like mates nonstop. Anything interesting going on down there before we let you go?
We had a dog that was a rescue, and it was neutered, and for whatever reason, its scrotum filled up with tons of blood.
After
the neuter. And I mean,
scrotum is male. Okay. Neutered and the spayed is the female.
Yeah. So it was neutered and it filled up with tons of blood and it developed a hematoma in its scrotum. And the dog's scrotum was probably two times, if not 2.5 to 3 times the size of its normal size.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible.
And so it came to us from across town. It was a dog that was a rescue, and the rescue group, I guess, is closer to us than it was where the dog was neutered. So we took over the case and we ran, because it's really unusual for a dog to have a hematoma in its scrotum, unless there's like a problem with the surgery. It's just not normal. Those, you know, neuters go really well. Mm-hmm. And according to all the notes from the other practice, surgery went without issue. And so we were running test after test on this dog to try to figure out, you know, was it a clotting disorder? Was it an autoimmune condition? Was it a congenital condition? And so we're running all this test on this dog for like 2 weeks. And finally, you just have to say enough's enough, and you have to remove the scrotum.
Oh.
So, you know, you have to remove like the basically the lowest part of the scrotum. You know, that would hang closest to the ground, and take that skin off and explore it, remove all the blood clots, remove all the tissue that's not viable anymore. And then you eventually just, you know, remove the whole scrotum and you close it up. So we did that earlier this week and the dog's doing great, but we still don't know why the scrotum filled up with blood.
When you neuter an animal, you're taking out the testicles, correct? Or do you take out one
That's
of the
right.
testicles? Or you take out both testicles,
both
but you're leaving the sac, or you just you're kind of wrapping that up like a belly button kind of thing?
We usually leave the sac. Usually leave that. You can, and so what the medical term for getting rid of the sac is called a scrotal ablation.
Mm.
And it's fine to do, but the problem with doing a scrotal ablation is that if you don't take enough and you leave scrotal tissue and you try to close the two sides of the scrotum that's left, sometimes that tissue doesn't heal well. Okay. And if you take too much of the scrotum, you have too big of a hole and you can't close it. And that's a really big problem. So, you know, scrotal ablations, they're typically just for aesthetics.
Yeah.
You know, if people don't want that little bit of droopiness after the neuter, but it, you know, it's just a cosmetic thing. And unless there's a medical reason for it, which in this case, there absolutely was a medical reason for it. I generally try to talk people out of doing it.
Can you do a scrotal ablation with a human being?
Oh, I'm sure you can.
But you don't.
I mean, right? I can't.
When a guy gets fixed, they just try to tuck that in and make it look like a cute squirrel, right?
When a guy gets fixed, they get vasectomies.
Yeah.
So
what is that?
All you're doing is the vas deferens, which is a tube for the sperm to basically leave the body. It basically makes it so that the sperm isn't able to fertilize the egg.
Yeah.
Okay. The sperm is missing important things to fertilize the egg. So the, when you have, a vasectomy, you'll still see, I mean, sperm is still present, but they're basically dead. And all you do is tie that tube. It's a tiny incision. You tie that tube and then you close everything up. And once you do that, it's like nothing ever happened. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no scarring. You're not missing any parts. Well, you're missing like a tiny part of, you know, one of your epididymis, basically.
Oh.
Or it's a vas deferens, whatever.
Cool bar trick.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Tell people how they can find you.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
You're the man. I'll look for you next week. Thank you, bro.
Thanks, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.